Well, today we're going to continue on with our series of Heroes of the Faith, and we're going to be talking about David. But before we get into that, it has nothing to do with the sermon, so I can't fit it into the message and make it work. But I've just got something on my heart I want to share with all of you, and I want to just share that right now in the beginning, and then we can get back to David. Something happened last week, and it was just a really neat God experience, and I want to share it because most of you probably wouldn't be aware of it. We had an opportunity last week to have in our service a young lady who had had a miscarriage and was hurting very bad, and I had an opportunity to be with her at the hospital. But she came to church last week, sat in the front row, and obviously was very shaken throughout the whole morning, and hopefully she's going to be back. And that's not the story. The story is that when we were done with the service, someone sitting close to her, won't mention the name, but she came up and she gave this young lady just a long, drawn-out hug, whispered in her ears and told her that she was praying for her, that she just, you know, she knew that she was hurting, didn't know why, but she just wanted her to know that she was praying for her and that God was there with her. And so later, I thought that was good. I mean, she must have known this girl. But the real end of the story was I found out that she did not know this girl at all. She had never met her. She saw that she was hurting. She came up, and other people did the same thing. We had two or three people come up and just gave her a long, drawn-out hugs and just said how much they were praying for her. That is evidence that God's working in the lives of people right here. And that's just a really cool story that probably none of you would know about if we didn't share it. But it was just really neat to find out that it wasn't somebody who just, you know, was doing what they should do. It was somebody who was doing what they should do because of what God has placed in their life. And that was just a really neat story. So it had nothing to do with David. I couldn't figure out a way to make it fit into David. So we just do with that. But anyway, today we're going to look at David. More was written about David in the Bible than any other character. You find writings or mentions of David in 66 chapters of the Bible. So now when you have this much information, some great accounts of David's life, and you try to boil this down into 25 or 30 minutes, it's a challenge, to say the least. So you just have to ask God, what is it in David's life that we want to look at this morning? But David was somebody who was written about a lot. But in the beginning, David was another example of God finding a nobody and turning him into a somebody. David was the youngest of the sons of Jesse. He was a shepherd. He took care of his father's sheep. That's what shepherds do. He was obedient to his father on earth, and most of the time, he was obedient to his father in heaven. His father on earth had asked him to go and to find his brothers on the front line of the battle of the Philistines, to bring them some supplies, but to see how they were doing, to check on his older brothers. And he did, and in the midst of that, he just happened to kill a giant and become a national hero overnight. David had 20 sons and one daughter, at least that's what Scripture tells us. Later was anointed king of Israel, but would not be able to take over that role until after Saul died. Later, David became the king, but in that process, he gave in to some temptations of Satan, and he did not do what he should have done. He let Satan tempt him into an affair with Bathsheba. You know that story. But then later, God caused David to repent, and he forgave him. That's a key. David sinned. He repented. God forgave. Later, David had a son named Solomon. And Solomon would go on to be the king after David. But at David's death, he was the same as he was earlier on in life, same as he was when he was a young shepherd boy, a man of faith. He loved his God and knew that God would continue to work through his son, Solomon. So this morning, as we dig deeper into the life of David, it's obvious that we can't talk about all these things in depth. We just don't have that kind of time. So I want us to just look at a couple of things about his life and some takeaways that hopefully we can grab from looking at David's life. But before we start, would you just bow with me for a word of prayer? Father God, I just pray right now that that your word will soak into our hearts. That, Lord God, you will help us to look at David as a man, but a man that was after your own heart. That's what you tell us. A man that, Lord, lived most of his life with positive examples of faith, but he was also a man that fell short. But luckily, you're a God who loves us so much that you forgive us and you've forgiven David. So we pray right now that you will just speak to each one of us and help us to learn from this account of David's life. In your name I pray. Amen. Before we start into this teaching of David, though, we want to kind of start where we've always started each and every week. We have used this as our base scripture throughout this series on the heroes of the faith. And it tells us a little bit about what faith is. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that when it was seen was not made out of what was visible. And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. As we take a closer look at the faith of David and what we can take away, let's break this into two categories this morning. I want to look at our faith from a short-term basis and our faith from more of a long-term basis. Our short-term basis would be something that we make a decision and the effects are going to be immediate. They're going to happen right then and there, and we know it. We step out in faith. Where long-term is going to be something that we may make a decision, we may act a certain way or do a certain thing, and the consequences or the effect of that decision is going to be spread out over time. A great example of short-term faith is David's life and the account of David and Goliath. This is a story they're studying in the back this morning with our kids. Marty has chosen this part of the passage to really look at and to go over with our children. But let's look at what part of the verses that talks about this. And there's a lot of verses, so I've had to narrow these down to just a few. Let's look at verses, start there in 1 Samuel chapter 17, 37. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. That was easy for Saul to say that. As the Philistines moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. This was no small feat. This was a big event in David's life. You see, the troops had been out there for over 40 days. They had been coming out every day thinking they were going to go to battle with the Philistines, and every day they did the same thing. They didn't do anything because they were afraid. They were afraid of this 9-foot, 9-inch giant that was part of that army. And this man decided to every day taunt them and to taunt their God. But this day was different because there was somebody new in the picture, and that was David. You remember, he had come in order to check on his brothers and to bring them supplies. But while he was there, he sees what's going on. He sees what they're saying. And he's not afraid of what might happen because he has faith in God. And the reason he has faith in God is, if we look back at what we just read, we talked about the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear. The reason for that is because when he was a shepherd, remember I said that shepherds protect their sheep? Well, there's times when animals would come, like lions and bears, I could say, and tigers, oh my, but would come in and would take the animals, and the shepherd would have to defend them. And so he was used to defending large animals that could kill him. He was used to having these short-term faith effects in his life. And so he knew what to do because he knew that God would be with him. He had delivered these sheep and lions and bears on a regular basis. He had defeated them, so he felt confident that God, through him, could defeat Goliath as well. No one was going to bring disgrace to his God. And that's how David looked at it. This was short-term faith because either David would win this battle and live, or he would lose this battle and die. But the time was now, and he acted. And he acted with faith. So, the question that we might ask ourselves is, how do we handle these kind of situations in our lives? Do we have faith that God can win any battle? They may not be life or death, or they could be life or death. But the question is, do we believe that either way, this crisis is something that God can handle? You know, we run into situations where Satan is tempting us to do something that we know could harm us. Satan's telling us that it's okay, just try it once, it'll be fine. The question is, do we have faith in God that he can help us make the correct decision in that situation? Maybe it's, I've been down this road, maybe it's our teenagers are out for the evening and all of a sudden, before they come home, the police come to the door and, you know, it's that dreaded knock. And you look out and you see who it is and your heart just sinks. Do we have faith that no matter what he's coming there for, that God will see us and help us through that situation? Or maybe it's our boss at work wants to talk to us, but of course, he doesn't want to do it today. He wants to do it tomorrow. So now you have all night to think about it. Do we sit around and ponder that and think about that? And we come up with a whole list of excuses because we remember all the things we've done and we have already have ammunition ready if he talks to us about it. And we worry about it all night? Or do we have faith that no matter what he wants to talk to us about, God will help us through the situation? Those are some questions, and I'm sure there's many other examples that you have in your life. We just need to think about that at times. Think about the disciples. There's some great examples of short-term results or effects. Their life was on the line most of the time, but yet they made the right decisions most of the time, knowing that it could cost them their life. Saul was anointed king, but he lost favor with God for being disobedient, for not having faith in God. But he remained king until his death. But even though David knew this, and even though David had been anointed as the next king, he was not going to take over until Saul died. So here's the key, is he waited on God. David remained faithful to his king, Saul. But Saul was a jealous king. He was jealous of David, and he wanted to kill him. And he spent a lot of time and energy trying to kill him. But God spared David's life. Why? Because God had a plan for David. David had opportunity to kill Saul. We remember that story probably, where Saul had gone into the cave to use the restroom. And he had his back turned, and David happened to be in that same cave. But instead of David coming up from behind him and killing Saul, because he had the opportunity, he actually cut off part of his robe and kept it and then presented it to Saul and say, "See, why are you trying to kill me? I don't want to kill you." And he showed Saul the cloth. David had faith that everything would work out in the end. He knew he was going to be king, and he could wait. He was willing to do that. We're not real good at this, are we? We're not really good at waiting on the Lord stuff. We want it now. We get ourselves into trouble all the time by not waiting on the Lord and pushing through. When God is not ready, we get ourselves way out in front of God, and when we do, it usually doesn't work well. You see, waiting on God's choice for a spouse, maybe that's the thing you have to deal with right now in your life, and you're impatient, and so you want to jump ahead of him and find someone right now as quick as you can. That happens all the time, and that's why we have over a 50% divorce rate. And it's not any different with Christians. That's the sad part. When we quit a job because a new one seems better, and then we find out later, maybe that wasn't the job that God wanted us to have, and it doesn't work out better. I'm sure that you can think of many examples in your life where that just doesn't go well. I want to give an example this morning of faith, real life faith, from someone right here in this room. We are blessed this morning to have guests, John and Dottie Ault, Joe and David. John is a chaplain in the U.S. Navy. John and I work together with Rick and others at our our church before, and John was a youth pastor and did a great job with our kids. But John felt an urge to listen to God's calling. Probably didn't understand it all at the time, or probably had no clue of what it was going to mean, but he had a desire to follow what God was telling him to do. And so John stepped out on faith. He left everything around him that was familiar, his friends, his family, took his family and moved on. And John's been in Japan for a while now, and serving over there as a chaplain, and just everything I read and know and hear about is doing a great job. John, would you and Dottie and David and Joe stand up? We just want to thank you for serving our country. So it's not easy to wait on the Lord sometimes, but when we do, it works out. You see, David knew it would work out, and he was willing to wait on God to become king. But you know what? David wasn't always the smartest guy either. You know, I don't want us to think this morning that, well, that's just David. And David could do anything. And he was God's chosen person, a man after God's heart. So you know what? He had it a little easier than we do. Well, obviously, that didn't always go that way. You see, David stayed home from the battlefield during the war one time and should have been out with his troops leading them in war, but instead he stayed home, laid back, and got in trouble. That's when we hear about and read about the story of Bathsheba, where David fell into temptation with Bathsheba, where she ended up pregnant from that temptation. And then to try to fix it, he brought one of his best friends, Uriah, back from the war and tried to get him to spend the night with his wife so that it would all turn out okay and David would be fine. But you know what? That's just normal, isn't it? That our best plans don't work out most of the time. And it didn't, because Uriah had integrity, Uriah had character, and he said, if the rest of the men on the field can't be with their wives, then I don't want to be with mine. And he did not do that. He did not fall to that. So, like any normal person, then David had to go to the step two, which was send a message with Uriah, sealed, to the leader of the war on the front lines, which said, from David, put Uriah in the front lines, and then whenever you give your command, all your soldiers will back away, and he will be killed. So, David becomes not only an adulterer, but a murderer. That was a tough time in David's life. This account is an example of how David, making bad choices and not letting his faith in God guide him, led him to some really hard consequences. The child that was born died, and though David wanted to go on and build a temple, which he was planning to do, God said, no, you're not going to build the temple. I'm going to let your son, Solomon, build the temple. You know, folks, we all face giants in our lives, don't we? The giants in our life that we face may look different than the giants that David faced. But if we tolerate the giants in our life, they can overcome us and destroy us. What are the things in your life that are there that you're afraid of, that maybe you feel like in and of yourself you cannot overcome? Maybe it's bad habits that we know we have, but we don't want them. But we just don't think we can overcome them. Maybe it's crumbling marriages. Maybe it's addictions or broken relationship or family problems. People who want to harm us, financial problems, all kinds of daily temptations to sin. We get ourselves in positions that we feel we just cannot win. So we just give into it and hope that God will get us out of it. That's what we do. But the truth is that we will always struggle trying to overcome these giants in our life alone. David's eyes were fixed on God and not on the giant. Just ponder that thought for a minute. David was not thinking about Goliath. He was thinking about the strength that he had through his faith in God. That's what he was focused on. Through God and God alone, we can overcome any of these giants in our life. The question is, do we believe this? Do we have faith in God and what He can do? God helped David fight off the lions and the bears, and he won those battles. So David believed in his heart that God would also be with him to fight off Goliath and win. But when David won that battle, he was quick to acknowledge that this was through God that he defeated Goliath and not through his own strength. If we want to be able to fight off these Goliaths in our life and have that kind of faith that David had, and to be a man or a woman after God's heart, then we need to pay attention to the things that God considers important. We need to obey his commands. We need to be humble servants, because otherwise pride can get in the way and cause real havoc in our life. God can fix anything broken if he chooses to. He may not always choose to, but he can fix anything if he wants to. God can help us break any bad habit, overcome any marriage problem, fight off Satan when he is tempting us to sin, help us make better decisions, fix any broken relationships, and get us out of any financial mess we've got ourselves in. God can, if he chooses, fix any issue in our life, but only if we allow God to lead us and direct our thinking, and only if we obey his commands and put our trust and our faith in him alone. That's the formula for all of us. We will make mistakes along the way. I can guarantee it. We will continue to fail. We will continue to make errors in our life. But like David, if we trust God and we confess our sins and ask God for forgiveness, he will forgive us. That's a promise, and God does not break his promises. A great example of this is found in one of the many writings of David in the book of Psalm. This was written after a time of sin in his life. It was written as a broken man. In Psalm 51, David writes this: "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge." David was a broken man. But at the same time, David also realized that God had blessed him in so many ways. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 18 and 19, he says, "Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, 'Who am I, O sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if there were not enough in your sight, O sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about my future of the house your servant. Is this your usual way of dealing with man, O sovereign Lord?'" David knew that he did not deserve what God had given him, mercy. But he was grateful. And the question he asked is, "Who am I?" Because he just realized that he really isn't anything. We are really not anything. And that's a question that we have to ask. Do we realize how blessed we are to have God who cares for us so much? Sometimes we find ourselves saying, "Why me, Lord?" Have you ever done that? Maybe a better question is, "Why not me, Lord?" We don't ask that one very often. But really, think about it. Why not me? Why am I any better than anyone else? Why am I better than Paul? Why am I better than the disciples? Why am I better than, obviously, Jesus, who died for all of us? So the real question is, why not me? Why don't I live in a third world country? Why am I not a person that's looking for a meal because I can't find one, or a house to live in, or a home to stay in, or friends, or all the many blessings that God gives me? Why? Why does he do that? That's a better question. Just as David succeeded in his daily struggles, as well as his major battles, God wants us to succeed as well. He tells us in Proverbs, He tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, to trust in the Lord with all your heart. All of it. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make our paths straight. It's another one of those promises that God has for us. To trust in the Lord with all of our heart. That's where faith comes from. It's just trusting the Lord. In closing this morning, what lessons can we learn from a man like David? Let's look at those. We can learn hope in spite of humanity. Because we are human, and we do fail, but we can still have hope and trust in God. We learn courage even in the midst of our fear. We learn encouragement and praise in songs that grew out of David's hours of despair. We learn value of serving. We learn forgiveness. We learn God's purposes for our life. So we can learn a lot from David. We can learn that even though we have dreams and aspirations in life, that maybe they won't come true. Maybe we won't be able to do everything we wanted to do. Maybe there's things that God doesn't want us to do. Maybe there's things that we are striving for that God says, don't strive for those things. Strive for this. And we mess it up. We don't wait on the Lord. We jump ahead. We push ahead. We break the doors down. And then we ask, what's happening? You know, as a pastor, we're blessed with an opportunity to talk to people all the time who are facing giants in their life. And they don't know how to deal with it. Sometimes we don't know how to deal with it. Probably most of the time we don't know how to deal with it. All we can do is love them and listen, try to give biblical counsel. But you know, folks, we get ourselves a lot of times in these messes in life by pushing ahead and not waiting on God. Or by maybe just not having faith that if we let it go God's way, He'll work it out. Because, you know, well, I will, but let me go ahead and do it first to make sure it gets done the way I want it. And if it doesn't, then I'll let God come in and clean up the mess. We all do that. I know this morning that many of you sitting in this room are struggling. I know there's marriage problems. I know there's all kinds of problems that are out there. Pastor Jeff and I and Mr. Joe, we spend a lot of our time trying to help you with these things, these issues in our life, these giants. So I encourage you to have faith in God, believe in Him, and believe that He can help you win any battle. I don't care how strong they are, how hard they are, how big they seem. God can win. We can't. And if we keep trying to do it ourselves, we will continue to fail. And only through the strength of God can we overcome these things. I encourage you this morning to turn it over to God, to be like David, a broken man, and just get on your knees and ask God to please help you through whatever it is, whatever giant is in your life. Would you bow with me in prayer? Thank you, God, for giving us David as a man after your own heart, a model, teaching us by his life such significant truths. Thank you, God, for being our master, using us though we are weak, forgiving us when we fail, and loving us through all the Sauls and Goliaths and Jonathans and Abigails and Bathshebas and Absaloms and Joabs and Solomons of our lives. Thank you for showing us that we can be people like David, people of passion and destiny, people who are willing to let you guide us, and also to be people who can repent and confess when we sin, and then ask you for forgiveness. Help us to call upon your name to help us fight the Goliaths in our lives, whatever they may be or however powerful they seem. Keep our eyes fixed on you and not the giants. Help us, like David, to appreciate the blessings that you have given us, as we too say, who am I to deserve these blessings? Help each of us strive to be people after the heart of God. Help us to be men and women of faith. In your name, I